You're listening to The Threshing Floor with Pastor Jeb Dotson. Join us today as we tackle hard topics, current and future events, as well as tough questions about the Bible from our live listening audience. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. Our hope and prayer is that through this program, you continue to ask questions and seek God's truth so you may be equipped to stand firm in your faith and grow closer in your relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to The Threshing Floor. As we're sitting here in the studio, I was listening to that song by Casting Crowns, Praise You in This Storm. And I tell you, there's such great music that comes out of this radio station. I don't know how often you tune in, how often you're able just to have it in the background, but yeah, I almost got lost in time, Tim, David. I'm sitting there and I close my eyes and this music is feed your soul stuff, you know, yeah. Praise You in the Storm. And I'm sitting there listening to it and then it cut off and then I hear the music. I said, oh, we're fixing to go on the air, you know? So all, you know, that just happens, but I just really want to invite you just to really hear and listen and allow this music to just feed your soul, because that's what it does. When we focus on the Lord, especially halfway through the week and at this time that you may be driving down the road, you may be at home, you may still be at work watching the clock, but it's important to really re-energize and kind of like drinking an energy drink. You know, I like energy drinks. I try to drink the sugar-free. I was told it's a little more healthy. So
I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, just like you want a cup of coffee, energy drink. It's something about just allowing the Spirit of God just to feed you. So how are you guys doing, Pastor David, Pastor Tim?
Excellent. The weather's been incredible the last couple days. I've been working outside, so I just want to say once again, excellent.
Excellent. And he has paint on his on his hands, on his pants, so we know what he's been doing, you know, using this great weather to knock out some projects. How about you, Pastor Tim? How's things going?
Good. Just out burning our field and having, you know, the trimming and trimming the trees. And it's fun to see Brian and those guys tearing all that stuff down and getting it ready for the summer hay. And, you know, it's fascinating to me because I have no idea what they're doing. They're just, I'm like, oh, you're setting our field on fire. Okay, that's good.
You know? This is a good thing.
Apparently it's a good thing. So, so why are you setting it on fire? Well, because it's got to, you know, burn off the stubble. It's got to prepare the ground for the hay and burn out all the weeds and all that stuff, so you got the good stuff. And I was like, oh, very good. And they do a great job, because every year when it's time for that hay, it looks great. And it's so I'm learning. I'm the city folk guy learning the
city folk stuff. Out in the country learning about country life.
I just wonder sometimes if God doesn't set a fire in our hearts just to burn away some of the stuff that needs to be gone.
Yeah, that's a great illustration. That'll preach for sure. If you tuned in last season, we spent this whole last season talking about the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, you know, what we call the Godhead or the Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we focused on the aspects of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit, and why we need the Spirit in our lives. And we really are just sold to the promise that we as an individual and the church, we need the Holy Spirit for empowerment, just to make it every day, that because we are in a spiritual battle and we need the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. This season, and we're starting this, we're talking about the person of Jesus, who is also one of those of the Trinity, one of the Godhead. And, you know, as we're introducing this series, we were kind of thinking, oh, what is the best way to talk about Jesus? And we kind of feel like the best way is, what did Jesus say about himself? That's really the best way because, you know, if you really want to get to know somebody, you talk to them. And Jesus said several things about himself, and we're going to be in the Gospel of John, and there's seven I am statements that he made, and we're going to be focusing on those for the next seven shows. But, you know, guys, if I told you something about myself, like I am a great artist, would you believe me? Would you... they're looking at me thinking, are you a great artist?
I don't know.
Would you want to see maybe some
proof of that?
Some proof, like because you know art can be interpreted. Maybe it's stick figures, and I think it's great. And you know, it's how would you know? Because you have my word, but you would also want to know by my actions. And so that's kind of the approach we're going, if that makes sense to you. Yeah. First, we're going to talk about the words of Jesus. What did Jesus say about himself? And then later, we're going to talk about his actions, some of his miracles, his healings, and get into some of his teachings. When God commanded Moses to lead Israel out of slavery in Egypt, Moses asked God what his name was. And God replied, tell them that the Lord, whose name is I Am, sent you. And that's Exodus chapter 3, starting verse 13. Jesus shows us that he has been in God's plan from the beginning when he said, even before Abraham was, I was, and I am. That's in John chapter 8. So in John's gospel, Jesus uses the term I am to connect himself to so many aspects of God's nature and to identify himself in several ways, like the one who supplies all needs, the one who brings knowledge about God to people. He's the way for people to find out about God and how to have eternal life. And then he invites everyone to share in this common concept that Jesus is this doorway, and you get to the Father through him. And so we're going to talk about all that, and that's just one big introduction to this series. We're calling this the Great I Am series. So we want you to stay tuned in. If you have any questions or comments, I want to give you this number that you can text in. It's 936-337-1413. And if you have something you'd like to drop in the mail, we'd love to get letters, especially you guys who are incarcerated. We're just really praying for you, lifting you up, and we love to hear from you. You can write your letters to The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. And we do have now, while I'm thinking about it, we have someone dedicated to answer that mail as well. So any mail that we get from in any of our prisons who was listening, we have someone on behalf of the Threshing Floor that is just really wants to just lift you up in prayer and whatever your needs is, and then they're relaying that back to us. So again, we'd love to hear from you. We're going to start this series off, guys, with in order that we see it in John, and the first statement that we see is going to be in John chapter 6. Where Jesus says he's the bread of life. Here's the background in what's going on in this chapter. We see that Jesus at this point, he has a large following, okay? And why does he have a large following? Because, well, not only has Jesus been healing people at this point, but he's also fed people. And imagine the McDonald's that opens its doors and said, all the food's free.
Right.
Man, is there going to be a line? You better believe it. Or the Sonic that says everything is free. All the drinks, all the slushes, all the sundaes is free. So there's a lot of people following Jesus at this moment, and they're a little divided. Some are following him because they like the free stuff. They ate the bread, they ate the fishes, and they're looking for more. So they start to ask Jesus, hey, show us another sign. What can you do so that we know that you're the Son of God? What are they looking for?
Food.
Yes. They're looking for more food. And when he doesn't, they start to complain. So Jesus finally says, you know, he talks to him and he finally says that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood. And many get really upset about this and they leave because they really don't understand what he's talking about. But Jesus knows that those who have really received him and his placed faith in him, they're going to understand that he's talking about spiritual concepts. So at this moment, people leave Jesus in droves, and Jesus looks around and who's left. Hey, you going to leave me too? And the disciples say, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And so we arrive at this point, what Jesus says, and I want to give you that exact verse, John 6:35. It says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Man, what a promise.
Incredible. I think of going back to Exodus chapter 3 where, you know, the burning bush is happening and Moses is there and God says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and you know, tell him that let my people go. And this is when Moses says, who should I tell him sent me?
Right.
And he says, let him know that I am. So it shows that God in the very beginning reveals himself as the deliverer.
Yes.
Because they're going to get set free. And here, when Jesus says, I am, he taps into, see, it's always, I am's present tense.
Yes.
You know, God's always present, you know, oh, he did things in the past, but he's I am today. He's going to be I am tomorrow. He's always there. But when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, I can't help but think, going back to the Old Testament, that manna was a type of the bread from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that this was God's provision again in that deliverance process to feed his people in this journey to the promised land. And when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, Jesus is the word.
Yes.
And he's the manna from heaven.
Yes.
And he's all that we need. When we say, give us this day our daily bread, we shouldn't be thinking about, you know, tacos and burritos.
Uh-huh,
you know,
right.
We should be thinking about, Jesus, you're my all-sufficient one.
Exactly. And you know what's something else about that statement, I am? There's a lot of confidence behind that. I get the feeling that, yeah, God is confident that there's no other God. All these other so-called gods, they're not real. So God saying, I am, it's like saying, I am the only. There is no other. You can make some gold statues and you can lay food in front of them and you could just do all this stuff, but it's just something made by man. When God says, I am, it's a statement of confidence. That is, there is no other that can compare to me. So you might as well just call me what I am. I am like the one and only.
Mm-hmm.
Like that show, what was the name of that show with Fonzie would walk in?
Oh, Happy Days.
Yeah, Happy Days. That's it, man. Everybody would stop because there was no one like the Fonzie. and we watched that when I was a kid. And, you know, kids started dressing like him, wearing the leather jacket, slicking their hair back. There was none other. And this is God, just the confidence that he just portrays as he's describing himself. And Jesus has that same confidence. So what I want to do just for this segment, if Jesus says he is the bread of life, we're going to just look at some traits of bread. And maybe that would somehow give us just a clue of how Jesus is describing himself. First, I guess the name of the bread describes its nature. That pretty much means, okay, what kind of bread do you guys like? Is there a brand? Like, is there a type?
I like homemade bread.
Okay.
Fresh, like if it homemade baked bread, you know, it could be anything. It could be pumpkin bread. It could be anything. But if it's homemade, I don't know, it just tastes better.
I'm it's called the butternut or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that butter bread.
Yeah, butter bread. Yeah, I like that pretty good.
Yeah, we eat that too, but, you know, there's all kinds. There's wheat bread and grain bread, rye bread. It describes the bread itself. So the nature of Jesus, just like wheat bread is wheat base and there's got a lot of wheat in it. The nature of Jesus is life.
That's good.
And so John 1:4, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. So when Jesus says that I am the bread of life, it's like saying that I'm white bread or I'm wheat bread. Or, you know, Jesus says, no, you're going to know me as life. And that's how you're going to describe me. And there's nothing, that's like the best bread in the market, right?
Right.
And I mean, this is top shelf stuff. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So this is, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's saying, this is the type that I am. I am the best that there is. I am the only, and there's none other like me. So get your Bibles and just get to a place where you can study with us, and we're going to be right back right after this message.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland is keeping it simple with some very simple interest. It doesn't get any simpler than 0% financing, and that is exactly what Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland is offering on many of our new 2021 Chevys, including the best-selling 2021 Chevrolet 1500 Silverado Crew Cab. Looking for two-wheel or four-wheel drive? Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland has a great selection to choose from, with new shipments arriving daily. Great selection and 0% financing with approved credit through GM Financial. That's keeping it simple. Visit us at www.cutshawchevrolet.com or call 1-800-CUTSHAW. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
104.3 Joy FM. Feel the joy. Feel the joy.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, welcome back to The Threshing Floor. I am in the studio with Pastor Tim Lowry and Pastor David Ballou, and we're starting this series that we're calling the Great I Am series, and we're focusing on the first one in John, the first statement Jesus is making about himself, and he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never go thirsty. And so this is like, as I said before the commercial, top shelf bread.
Right.
The best bread you can possibly get. You know, this is, I'm not going to say the name, but there's certain restaurants that they put so much preservatives in their bread. And I was told this, they got a hamburger from this certain restaurant and it was in a paper bag in a dump. It had been there for years and it didn't mold. It just hardened. Wow. This is so much preservatives that existed in this. That's kind of, that's scary bread right there.
Yeah, they're going to find it like
not top shelf there.
Yeah, not top shelf. This, so it's imitation good. People think it's, they think it's really great, but it's just packed full of stuff of the world.
Yeah, well, we can go into a whole nother thing with that, and with preservatives and that kind of, you know, wannabe bread instead of Wonder Bread. But the thing is, what happens when we put the wrong things into our life? It, you know, we think that it's the bread of life, but it's, if we're not with putting Christ into our life, it's not going to sustain. It's not going to, it may sit there like a rock in our stomach or our soul for a long time, but it's not going to do anything for us to grow us.
My wife is more health conscious than I am, and she, which I'm glad, because she tries to push it on me, you know. But you know, I like bread that tastes good.
Sure.
Yeah, me too. You know, and it's amazing what they do to make things taste better. May add too much salt, put a little bit more sugar. Those things, just because it tastes good doesn't necessarily mean it's good for you. You know, some of the most wholesome breads, you know, are kind of, don't have the best texture unless you just know how to cook it. But, you know, if you're really looking for nutrition, you know, you got to not add all the other additives and stuff. You know, let it just be the real deal. And that's what Jesus is saying, I think, is that I'm the real deal. I'm going to nourish you. I'm not just going to give you the sweet stuff or something that you're going to like for a while and it's going to make you sick later on. But I am the bread of life. This is good stuff for you.
Right.
Well, it's what's great that we're talking about is just making me hungry, because I'm just thinking of all this. I'm craving this, and I think when you start really thinking about that, that's what we should be doing with Christ. We want to be craving Him. We want to be craving that life that He gives us, so that we're feeding ourselves with Him. And I remember this Sunday, you were leading worship, and Pastor, we were singing, and I just remember. Just my heart and my eyes were swelling up with tears when we were singing that song about, you know, kneeling at the cross and everything that He had done for us and the blood of Christ. And it was just at that moment, I was like, Lord, I just crave that more and more every day. And the overwhelming gratefulness of what You did, that He is the bread of life. And that's something that, man, sometimes we just take it for granted, but Sunday, I just felt like you could feel it in the congregation. It was just this amazing movement of the Holy Spirit.
You know, when Jesus said this statement, He says, I'm the bread of life. John 11:25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live even though he dies. The statement that He's making to this, I am bread of life, are to those who are worried about their bellies, as I just said. They want to get fed. Jesus is saying that, you know, you can eat, I can feed you, but guess what? 4 hours, you're going to be hungry again. 6 hours, you're going to be hungry again. This is something that is on such a higher level than just food. This is going to feed your soul so that really you will never go hungry. Now, your stomach may growl, but there's a greater hunger that's a hunger of the Spirit.
Right.
And it's on a whole nother level than just physical hunger. And I don't know if you've ever really hungered what you're talking about, you know, during worship, hungered after the Holy Spirit, hungered after the presence of God like that. It far outweighs the temporary hunger of the stomach. I mean, this is a great pulling that it's indescribable. And when you feel that hunger, only Jesus through the Holy Spirit can meet that need in that moment. That's it.
Yeah. And when you get fed by the Holy Spirit, it is a feeling that is just beyond what anything humanly consumable could be. And I love the fact that when Jesus was at the well with the Samaritan woman and the disciples had gone off to get food and they come back and it's like, well, you know, what do you mean? You have food already? It's like, I have food that you don't know about.
Right.
You know, doing the will of God sustains me. So just by Him sharing and prophesying to that woman on the well and knowing that this is where that ministry was going to start, she was going to go and tell everybody about Him. It was this energizing spirit that just came upon Him and fed Him in a way that no earthly bread could.
Mm. And so, when Jesus was saying that I am the bread of life, it's describing Himself, but there's something else about bread that we can really relate to Jesus in, that bread is necessary. You know, in our culture, bread at a meal is optional. Many places don't serve bread, but I want to tell you guys something. When I went to Israel 5 years ago, I really didn't understand how important bread was to the Jewish people. There is bread at every meal. They take their bread very seriously. And you know, some people, first, they think that it's bread without yeast. And that's not the fact. That came from when they were leaving Egypt as slaves. And this is part of their culture. You have to understand that they left in such a hurry that they had bowls of dough that they didn't have time to put yeast in it. So they had bread without yeast, and they had no way to get yeast. So in the desert, they actually ate their bread without yeast. And this is stuff that it gets made every day. It doesn't have preservatives. Like the manna that fell from heaven, it would mold by the next day, so you couldn't keep it. So something about the bread, it was so necessary. In fact, going back to how a Jew looks at bread, because it's so much ingrained in their culture, they don't even consider it a meal unless there's bread as part of the meal. It's like you're not really even eating. You're in survival mode if there's not bread on the table.
Right.
And that's how serious it is to them. And so,
I was going to say the French culture too. I remember being on an airplane heading to France. It was an 11-hour flight. And, you know, usually you get served a meal for dinner, right? Well, the lady came over and she gave me a baguette with cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at this and I was like, you know, what is this? I'm not going to be full on this. This is a piece of bread and some cheese. And I was getting upset. And then she says, no, this is French bread. I was like, yeah. Well, what's the difference? So I ate it. I was so full. I was so content. It was the best bread. I was like, okay, these guys really know what they're
talking
about. Totally
different deal. And that's the thing, which we need to put ourselves back into the culture of the statements that Jesus is making. When he said that I am the bread, bread was very necessary, that there you're really not even having a meal without the bread. It was a staple of life. It was consumed daily and is like that to this day. All the meals, no matter where you are, if it's a sit-down meal and there's like all kind of meats and fruits and stuff in front of you, there's always going to be bread of many different kinds there. Or it could be even the fast food. It's going to involve bread of some kind, even if it's like a small little roll that is with whatever that you got. It's got to have bread. And it's like, people don't have bread, you're like worse than poor, and I don't know how to describe it. It's like you're on really, really, really hard times, and that's all there is to it.
You think about people that said, man, I've been on a bread and water, you know, sustenance here, and I think of, I don't know if you remember the picture, there's a guy, he's got his hands folded, he's praying, and he's got a loaf of bread and some water. You know, it's a pretty famous picture.
Yeah.
And basically it says, this guy is putting himself in a position and to seek God, and he's just taking the basic requirements for him to live. It's bread and it's water.
Mm-hmm.
But he's partaking of something that's not physical. It's not wheat and it's not yeast. It's not any of those things. You know, he's got his head bowed and he's in communion. You can just tell he's in communion with the Father. And I think that's when Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I mean, later on, he freaks everybody out by says, you have to drink my blood and eat my body. You
right,
know?
Yeah.
And they're thinking physical stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He's gone cannibal.
But that's not it at all. We have to be partakers and be nourished by the one who said, mm-hmm. I am the bread of life. And so, you know, we should put ourselves in that humble position of just dependency upon him for our nourishment, spirit, soul, and eat the regular bread for your body.
When Jesus said that, it was that he is the bread, and the same bread is so necessary. Jesus is making the statement that I am necessary for you. He's identifying himself, declaring that he is what we need for our daily need for spiritual fullness and satisfaction. We all have a hole that Jesus needs to fill. And until we allow him, we invite him, we accept him as our Lord and Savior, until we do that, there will always be this need, because Jesus is very necessary for us. And I don't know if you guys have met, or maybe you're listening on the radio where you know someone who is just so ill-contented. You cannot satisfy this person. Maybe they're just a constant complainer. Nothing's ever right. And I'm not saying, and there's no need to point fingers at people. Don't point across the room as you're listening to this radio. That's just mean. But you know who I'm talking about. I think that person really needs a revelation of Jesus, because I find that people who really get a hold of Jesus, that he fills them completely, that there's really no need to be constantly complaining. I mean, it's okay to have complaints, but when he fills you because he is so necessary, everything else that is uncomfortable in life just becomes less. It's just like a little side note. You know, whether you've lost your job, you're in an auto accident, you've lived through it, but now the car's undrivable, you can go on and on, your air conditioner at home went out, your refrigerator, all these things, all, and I'm talking about serious stuff here.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's trivial, but what happens is that all of these become so much less in comparison that if, when you have Jesus in you, it's he kind of sustains you between the ups and the downs of life. He kind of makes things even kill.
Right.
It's just a constant, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, but he only does that if you're partaking in him. How many of us are guilty of starving ourselves,
yeah,
you know, of the bread of life, where we think, well, let me just grab a quick snack over here and something over here, but we don't actually partake of Christ. We starve ourselves, and that's where that grumpiness comes in. That's where that frustrations or our communication starts becoming more and more bitter. And what does the Bible say? That bitterness, what's that seed that plants to that sin? And we don't want that.
Yes.
So we just have to be very careful that we're actually looking in the right refrigerator for what what we need.
And we have to think about the disciples. All they knew about Jesus was him physically. When he was crucified on the cross, put yourself in the disciples' shoes where they were freaking out. And we don't really understand because they did not have the Holy Spirit yet. How do we have Jesus? By the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we are sealed by the Spirit of God. And so putting yourself in the shoes of the disciples, there was a moment of time between where Jesus left them and they are waiting in that upper room where they felt empty and they were really sad, beyond sad. This is beyond like your, even your parents or your child dying. This, the very one who sustained you has just passed away and you're without Jesus. They really didn't understand it all until they received the Holy Spirit. Now I have Jesus again. Now he is so much more necessary. He's just with me in a new way.
Right.
And was great about it. Jesus said, it's great that I go away because the Comforter will come, because not just 12 would have Jesus, the entire world could have Jesus.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So think about that. We're going to take another break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland is keeping it simple with some very simple interest. It doesn't get any simpler than 0% financing, and that is exactly what Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland is offering on many of our new 2021 Chevys, including the best-selling 2021 Chevrolet 1500 Silverado Crew Cab. Looking for two-wheel or four-wheel drive? Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland has a great selection to choose from, with new shipments arriving daily. Great selection and 0% financing with approved credit through GM Financial. That's keeping it simple. Visit us at www.cutshawchevrolet.com or call 1-800-CUTSHAW. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
104.3 Joy FM. Feel the joy.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, welcome back to The Threshing Floor. As we are looking at these I am statements of Jesus, I think it is very important because this is Jesus's testimony about himself. And as I was saying at the beginning of the show, you know, there's a lot of statements you could make about yourself. I'm a generally a happy person, or I'm a person who loves to read, or I am a great artist, or you could go on and on about yourself. And if I just met you and really didn't know you, then all I would have is your words. But what's so great about the Gospels is not just about what Jesus said about himself. He verified it about everything that he did, so he could back it up.
And there was also witnesses behind it that they were making, they were putting the accountability in the account of his life. And even outside of the Bible, you can research and find the truth about Jesus. So it's not some fairy tale, or a lot of people say, oh, those are great stories in the Bible. And you say, you know, go do the research outside of the Bible and you'll see it's not a story.
It's more than a story.
And I believe that Jesus drove the Pharisees crazy.
Yeah, just you better believe
they,
it.
They understood, you know, the whole Moses story when God says, tell them I am sent. Mm-hmm. Sent. When Jesus starts using the words, I am this and I am that, I imagine it stirred them up because I am in their culture meant God.
Right.
Basically, Jesus was saying, I'm here.
Yeah. Right.
I'm right here.
And to them, that's blasphemy.
Yeah, it came to a point when he said, hey, before Abraham was, I am.
Boom. Boy,
they really go off then. They're like, wait a minute. This, you know, rip their clothes, start screaming, try to drag Jesus off, but they can't because the Holy Spirit's protecting him. Oh, yeah. It was drama, pure drama.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things that I loved about how he made that statement is when you take bread, bread is accessible to everybody. It's every culture has the ability to make bread. So this is something that when he was gone throughout the rest of the generations, you would always be able to relate to that.
Mm. But, you know, it's the fact that, you know, you're right, in every culture. And if we're using this in and turn it to spiritual terms, there are some people who believe that certain cultures will not be saved. And I think when we think about the bread is in every culture, that kind of debunks that no Jew will be in heaven or no this person or no that person. It's available in every culture. Jesus is enough for everybody.
Yeah, it says every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, that's pretty powerful. I mean, is that not any culture?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, though. You know, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he taught them to pray, and one of the statements in that prayer was, give us this day our daily bread. Was he talking about wheat? Was he talking about daily consumption of food that sustains life? What do you think?
I think it's that spiritual something that will fill you so much more than what any food can. It's like, give us our portion from you, God.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about last week, The Chosen. What I really liked, The Chosen, the last few shows, it showed the disciples, first thing in the morning, they would get up, they would lean over on the side of their bed, and they would close their eyes, and they would just kind of hold their hands up, and they would start thanking God for the day. I was like, I want to do that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. There's something inside of me stirred and said, you know what? I should try that before I even stand up and go get my coffee. I should like swing my legs over the bed and just say, Lord God, you are great. And I thank you for saving me. And I thank you that you're going to bless this day. It stirred something inside of me. Do you understand what it's like?
It's a craving.
Yeah, it is. And I said, oh, I want to do that. You know, that looks like is so important, and that was part of their culture too, because there's so many things that we see in the show that is very culturally accurate. And
oh yeah,
we just did that.
I mean, it really sunk in when I watched one of the first episodes when Nicodemus was trying to cast out the demons, and he's calling he can't call out the name of Jesus because it's not there yet. So he's like calling out the name of Jacob and Isaac, and you just realize, wow, you know, that's pretty crazy to think that we have the power to cast out demons in Jesus' name.
Yeah,
the authority of all life, the authority and like you said, the bread of life. So I love that series because it sparks a hunger that I think this generation needs.
Yeah, and absolutely.
You know, when the woman at Samaria met Jesus at the well, you know, and Jesus said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never thirst. I think when he's talking about bread, it's basically the same concept.
Sure, same concept.
You know, you can eat whole wheat, pumpernickel, whatever it wants, you know, but if you partake of this bread of life right here, mm-hmm. it's going to lead to everlasting life.
And I think we have to remember that they didn't have access to the word, and Jesus had to use everyday items, just like the well, with you're talking about the Samaritan woman. It was something that everybody had to do. They had to get water, just like bread was so important. So he used things that everybody knew about. If he used a different term, like, through me, you will have great spiritual fulfillment. And I don't know if that could connect on the same level as talking about something that is very common and then making it uncommon when describing Jesus. And that's just the way he taught. That's the way he did things, so they could get it. And he did that a lot throughout. Every time he was teaching, he's like, you know, what kind of person decides that they're going to build a tower and then calculate what it's going to cost? That was like a common thing, trying to get a building project done. And so people say, oh, yeah, okay, I get that. So you're saying that that is like the kingdom of God, and I understand that now. The pearl of great price and all these other great parables, he often used things that were very common in the world that people could understand these concepts. So Jesus being the bread of life, and the fact that bread is available everywhere, Jesus is available to every person. If you're listening on the show right now, you need to know that your time to receive Jesus is not in the past. Your time to receive Jesus is now. There is no excuse. You don't have to wait. You can receive Jesus, and he's right there in the room with you, waiting to hear your prayer. You don't have to get yourself right. You don't have to sober up or do whatever it is that you think you need to do. Now is the moment, because Jesus is available to all.
It's like the banquet's always there. Come partake.
Exactly. But there will come a day, think about this, on the coast when a hurricane comes, and I went to high school on the coast, bread and water are gone. You just can't get it. It's like they know, because when a hurricane, it's not like a tornado. You know, okay, there's 12 hours until it hits, 9 hours, 6 hours, and it goes, it's a time clock. People go crazy, and they will wipe out the grocery store. So put that in a spiritual term. Someday the bread will be off the shelf.
That's good.
You are going to want to get that bread. You're going to go in. The hurricane came, meaning it's the end of days. Jesus has already came, and he's received the church and the rapture. They're gone. You don't want to be caught in that moment where there's absolute hell on earth, and there's no way to accept Jesus. The time is now, and he's available to everyone right now.
Amen.
Yeah, I think God has this time clock that we don't know. We always think that time is on our side.
Yeah.
And we don't realize how quick it is. And for me, turning 50, I realized, you know, I'm half a century old now. You know, it's like, where did all of that time go? And in a moment, I'm going to be gone. And you think about it. It's like I did a show on the Social Security, and I did it when I was, I don't know, 23 or 24. And I thought, wow, that's so far away. That's so long ago. I'm thinking, wait, that's just right around the corner now, Social Security. And, you know, one of the things that all of these elderly people would say is that the one thing that they wish they could have more of is not money, not, you know, fancier cars or anything like that. It's time.
Time. It is the most precious resource that we have. I would agree.
And if you don't use it right and you waste it and you think, oh, I don't have to worry about getting saved, I'll wait till I see all this other stuff, mm-hmm. then I'll get saved. Well, it's going to be too late. And you're going to be sitting there staring at that empty shelf with that. Have you ever had that gut, you know, yes, sinking feeling like, oh, I really messed up.
I just made a huge mistake. What have I done? Yeah, I think we've all have been there.
Yeah, I do not want to have that on the day of the Lord's return. That would be very, very not good.
You know, on the other side of it, I want to be a bread vendor. You know, I want to deliver the best Jesus I possibly can to everyone. So when I go, when I leave this earth, I want to see so many of my buddies and friends and people I know kind of up there with me and say, right. Hey, I know you. Hey, I know. Just high-fiving people.
Right.
And maybe there's a few that I had a little influence on, and they're saying, hey, man, thank you for that you said to me. That helped me make up my mind.
Right.
And, you know, that's what I think should be the goal for all of us, to be the best bread vendor or the best Jesus representation we could possibly be. Have the best tasting bread on your block.
Right. Well, I was going to say, you make a good point. It's that, you know, bread doesn't grow on trees. You have to supply it. You have to go out there. And you have to be the hands and feet. I think that's an amazing thing I didn't really think about it. It's like, you know, we can be bread vendors. You know, how cool is that?
Yeah, and you just don't want bread that's just, you know, with all kinds of preservatives in it. You want it to be warm. You want it to be fresh. And that's why we need to maintain our relationship with the bread of life,
yeah.
So that, you know, what the fragrance that we're giving off is enticing, because there's people out there who aren't hungry for spiritual things. They're filling their life with all kinds of stuff right now, and they seem junk food pretty much, you know, and
right.
they seem to be somewhat satisfied. But if we present the bread of life and it smells good, and they get a little taste of it, they're going to say, hey, I want more of this. And we're going to say, like the woman, like Jesus said to the woman at the well, you know, you can eat this regular bread, you can eat this junk food, but guess what? It's not going to be the same as the bread of life. Here's right. Jesus.
Well, right. And how sweeter does it taste when you're in more of a need for it?
Oh, you absolutely.
Know, when sometimes God takes us down to the strips us away of all of these worldly things to a place where we have to say, you know what, I can't do it in my own strength. I need to repent. I need to call out. And then he's there to replenish you. And that is the best replenishing. It's like after running a marathon and you ran, you know, 26 miles or whatever, and you get that nourishment at the end. Wow, it's just something that is so, you just appreciate so much more than the fact of, you know, if you just said, oh yeah, I'll take that salvation thing. I don't really need it, but you know, God doesn't work that way. He wants us to choose him, and in a loving way, because he loves us so much. We can't do anything to change that love. We can't be bad or good. It's just his love. His love is unconditional, but he wants us to choose that. And sometimes it takes us that little nudge of being down and seeing what the bottom of life is, and then seeing, okay, there's hope. There's that yes. bread of life.
Yeah, there it is. You mentioned a while ago that bread is baked. It's processed. And, you know, that's a great point, too, because grain, it has to be grown and cultivated. Then you have to cut it down. They would beat the grain to separate it from the outer hull. Then it would have to be ground down and then baked. There's a definite process. I kind of wonder, how did people discover this way, way back then, caveman days, you know, that this grain, you could like beat it down to a powder and then pack it together with ingredients and actually make this thing bread. But it is a process. Christ went through everything he did in order to provide us with the gift of salvation. It was a definite process. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. There's a process he went through in order to save us. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. So, just as Jesus went through a process to save us, you know, bread goes through the same process too. Jesus went through a lot of things, great lengths. We're going to take another break, and we'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland is keeping it simple with some very simple interest. It doesn't get any simpler than 0% financing, and that is exactly what Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland is offering on many of our new 2021 Chevys, including the best-selling 2021 Chevrolet 1500 Silverado Crew Cab. Looking for two-wheel or four-wheel drive? Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland has a great selection to choose from, with new shipments arriving daily. Great selection and 0% financing with approved credit through GM Financial. That's keeping it simple. Visit us at www.cutshawchevrolet.com or call 1-800-CUTSHAW. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
104.3 Joy FM. Feel the joy.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
All right, well, we are back on The Threshing Floor, and we're talking about Jesus' statement that he's the bread of life. And we've been talking about, like, bread and how bread relates to Jesus so much that, I mean, I need to go find a bakery. Because in my mind, as we're talking, I'm thinking about all this different type of bread, you know, the wheat bread, the pumpernickel bread, the butter bread, or, you know, there is a Spanish bakery right down the road that I would just love to hit right now. It's like something, you know, we're just talking about it so much.
Well, and you're also talking about the process that it takes, right? Where you take the grain and you do all this. Well, that's, where does it start? It starts at the threshing floor, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's where you separate the wheat from the chaff, and then they actually start grinding it down and they bake the bread. It's interesting that we get to call this show The Threshing Floor, because there's just so many different things that just give us the ability to say, you know what, there's, God is good. God gives us this bread, and we're going to be able to be everything we need. All the nourishment, everything that we need is right there in his word.
Well, and you use the word nourishment there, and I think that's really important for us to understand. There's the process, you know, there's the grain, there's all the ingredients. But the reason we need bread is because it sustains us. It's nourishment to us. It provides what our body really needs. And when Jesus was saying, I'm the bread of life, he's basically saying, you know, no matter what the process might be, you need me. Need me. I'm the nourishment that's going to bring life to you.
You know, there's An old saying that I'm going to lock you up and feed you bread and water. I don't know where that came from, but just bread and water. That's, I guess, way back in the Civil War times. That is what a prisoner would receive. And you're thinking, well, that is like the very basics, but it will sustain you, like is what you're talking about. You know, it has what most people, when I say this word, they think is a bad thing. It has calories. And people want to cut down calories, but what you don't realize is we need a certain amount of calories. If you don't get calories, starvation takes place. So you need that caloric intake, or else your body starts feeding on itself, starts breaking down.
Right.
There is actually empty calories. You know, they're calories. You know, you eat a donut, you get lots of calories. But are they the kind of calories that are going to bring health to you? You know, when we partake of Jesus, you know, the caloric intake there is divine.
Yes.
You know, that's what we want to see.
This is what it says in John 15:4-5. It says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is saying, when I get in you, inside of you, you're going to have qualities. You're going to be nourished. This is going to give you spiritual strength. You know, we can get physical strength. And in today's world, like you're talking about donuts and other things, is, you know, sometimes we eat certain things in excess and we need to get a balanced diet. Well, Jesus is the balanced diet spiritually. He is all you need, and you will be the well-rounded believer. And that's what God really wants us to be. Through Christ who's in us, we will have every tool. We will have everything. We have His Word to guide us. We have His Spirit to empower us. And, you know, as soldiers, I made this statement last Sunday. You know, it's kind of on the spot. God just gave me this this thought. Why would we, as soldiers of the Lord's army, why would we go out to battle and leave the ammunition in the camp? It's like, isn't that the craziest thing? It's like, all right, we're going to go fight the enemy. Everybody charge. But you have like your guns and your cannons and everything, but there's no ammunition. There's no bombs. There's no missiles or any of that. It's like, why would you go and leave that? See, you need Jesus. We need Jesus in our life in order to be successful and to just be able to navigate this crazy world that we live in. He is the ammunition that's back at camp. We shouldn't leave home without Him.
Well, and He also not just strengthens us, but He grows us, like you said, spiritually. And that's, if we're not growing, then we're dying. And we need to really make sure that we are on that path of growth in His words and getting His nourishment, because every day we just get bombarded with so many different things that it's not worth it.
Don't leave home without Him.
Well, bread like Jesus satisfies the soul. We hope that you are blessed. We love you. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, be blessed.
You've been listening to The Threshing Floor with Pastor Jeb Dotson. The Threshing Floor is a ministry of Life Point Church. We would love to hear from you. You can mail your questions and comments to The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. That's The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. Until next time, may the love of God richly bless and strengthen you.